My wife reminded me on the way up to give it to you with both barrels. Brings me something I'm thankful for. Last Father's Day, my two sons bought me a double-barreled shotgun. So not only do I get to do it here from the platform, but in reality, on a skeet range. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, good morning all, and if we could start our time together by turning to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And we'll just read a couple verses from 147. And we'll start with verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Skipping down to verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. These verses, we see the intermingling of singing, music, and praising the Lord. And we see this numerous times in the Psalms, don't we? And so this morning I'd like to talk about singing in our Christian experience. Let's just flip over to 148 now, Psalm 148. And I like to read verses 1 through 13, Psalm 48. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his glory is above the earth and heaven. Well, you might say it's a pretty exuberant psalm, put it mildly. And it says, it calls on every living creature to praise the Lord and to give him thanks. It even calls on great sea creatures to praise him. See in verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. It reminds me recently of seeing a program on TV, Discovery Channel, which is one I enjoy. I must confess that we have indulged ourselves and gotten ourselves a large screen TV, which we did back for the Olympics, much to Suzanne's happiness for the ice skating, which is fun. But I particularly enjoyed the venues when they would fly over the mountains from one venue to another. Just the grandeur of the landscape there and the trees and the snow. It's beautiful. So these programs, Discovery, are equally as impressive. And I can remember, as this talks about the great sea creatures, seeing one on whales. How these men ever got photographs of these whales. They are brave people. Actually getting in the water with these whales and filming them, of course, above the water and below the water. And to see them swimming throughout the water. But I thought it would be interesting just to give you a few factoids on, say, the blue whale. It's just so impressive. The blue whale is the largest animal on Earth. They are even larger than the largest dinosaurs were. They are the largest known creatures to inhabit the Earth. A blue whale can weigh 150 tons and stretch out 100 feet long. On one occasion, we in the Delaware River, we had a whale that had gone astray. It was about 40 feet long and weighed 22 tons. It was pretty good size. But here we're talking about 150 tons, 100 feet long. The average size blue whale is about the size of 23 giant elephants put together. Some of the largest blue whales are as big as a Boeing jet. Their hearts are the size of small cars. Their tongue weighs as much as a grown elephant. 50 people can stand on the tongue of a blue whale, and they eat about 5 tons of fish every day. So it's, you might say it's certainly impressive to see the Lord's creative ability when it comes to his creation, and particularly the blue whale. Going on, though, the scientists in getting in the water there do some eavesdropping, and of course, as you probably know, whales sink. And it's just so amazing to see these large mammals cruising through, down through the depths, and then singing. And it's like kind of eerie, because you have the nice blue water and this big, big creature just going through, and they make these interesting singing. I can remember at one point, through this whole documentary, they had gone from their mating grounds, I think, off Hawaii over to California, and where they feed for the summer or something like that. But in the mating area, the younger bulls never quite were able to find themselves a mate. So for some reason, they start just hanging out together, not side by side, but they're about a mile apart, and they're just stationary in the water. See this big, big whale just sitting there, his tail's drooping a little bit, and he's singing. And I guess you might call it the whale blues. And all the other young bulls are doing the same thing, about a mile apart, and you can hear them, you know, one would make the noise, and the other one. But there's this singing among the whales. So it's unlikely that the psalmist ever saw a blue whale, but he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he called on all creation, including the great sea creatures, to sing and to praise the name of the Lord. There's also a particular type of wild dog in New Guinea that sings. In fact, it's been given the name of New Guinea singing dogs. And they're known to have this unique howling vocalization. And when they sing, they do so with different tones and pitches. And they tend to harmonize as well. They almost sound like a barbershop choir, if you can imagine that. And they're wild dogs, but they love to sing. So, you know, God created our world with a capacity for song. So from the tiniest cricket outside our windows to the blue whales cruising in the depths and singing the whale blues, our world is full of music. And just as the world is full of songs, it's certainly no surprise that the Bible is full of hymns. Ephesians 5 says, tells us not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, singing to ourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that brings me to our primary text today, and we could turn to Exodus 15. This may sound a little familiar, because I read a portion of this morning, breaking of bread. Exodus 15. We all know this story, that earlier chapters, the Lord appears to Moses in the burning bush, and he says, you are to go down and declare to Pharaoh to let my people go. We know that they were under very hard bondage, and in the process, of course, we know about the 10 plagues. So we can imagine the children of Israel, their whole experience through this. First of all, that Moses shows up on the scene and declares that, you know, that they need to be read, and you're wondering what they're thinking, and then all these plagues start taking place. So they certainly are starting to see the hand of God at work. And then, of course, the last plague, where the firstborn is killed. But prior to that, they've been asked to, of course, prepare for the quote-unquote Passover. So here they are, under Moses' instruction, having never done this before, preparing for the Passover, as we know, by sacrificing a lamb and putting the blood on the lintels and so forth on the doorposts. And then actually seeing what happens. See that they are delivered, their firstborn, but all of Egypt, the firstborn die. And of course, Pharaoh at that point says, okay, out of here, you know, enough of this. And so they gather their things, and as you know, they had been asked to be prepared to move out. So the children of people of Israel are underway and headed on. And what do? They run into the Red Sea. And here they are, they're just really perplexed. Now, here we've been delivered out of Pharaoh's hand, but now we're trapped. And of course, Pharaoh is reconsidering his decision to kick him out, and he comes after him. And so we see this great parting of the seas and the children of Israel going through. And they come across, and to their horror, the army of the Pharaoh is right behind them, coming through the same path they had. But then they see the Lord closes the sea and destroys the entire army. And so it brings us to this scene, the children of Israel having just crossed the Red Sea. And they see this phenomenon, and they compose this song we're about to read, this hymn. It's probably one of the oldest hymns or the earliest hymns recorded in Scripture. And, 24 hours before, the Israelites were being faced with destruction again by Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh's armies were at the bottom of the sea. And the children of Israel were free at last, safe at last. Can you imagine the feeling? They've been in bondage. They've escaped. It seemed like they were going to perish again. And just to have that closure. The sea closes and they're gone. No more threat. That sensation of feeling free at last. They had been delivered. So I think you can see why this song, they put this song together. So let's look at the song. There's three things we can learn about music in our souls and singing to the Lord. Of course, Moses is full of praise to the Lord for three very specific things, which we'll pull out here. And they're the very three elements that cause us to burst into praise as well. First, we praise the Lord for who he is, for the wonders and glories of his person. So we look at verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. Have any of you ever sung that chorus in Sunday school? Danny's raising his hand. Yeah, this was totally new to us when we moved to California, but in the assembly there, this was just like we hold up these little placards of the songs we sing. This was one of them. And so I can still remember us singing in a Sunday by Sunday, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He's thrown the horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea. It's a great song. It was a funny song to sing with the kids. The next two verses go on to say, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. So the song begins with a series of statements, doesn't it? On who the Lord is. It says, he is my strength. He is my song. My salvation. It literally has been delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh. He is my God. He is my Father's God. And the Lord is highly exalted. It says he is a warrior. But then most importantly, it says the Lord is his name. Notice that's spelled all capitals, L-O-R-D. Let me just talk about that for a minute. That's the English version, the Hebrew word Yahweh, or sometimes Jehovah. And it's an interesting root. It comes from the verb to be, meaning simply, but profoundly, he is. Yahweh was the name by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am was sent, has sent me to you. It simply means, I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. So we see that Yahweh is the all-powerful and sovereign God who alone defines himself. Just going on, it says, I am expresses the fact that he is infinite and the original personal God who is behind everything and to whom everything must finally be traced. I am who I am signals the truth that nothing else defines who God is but God himself. What he says and does is who he is. So Moses has been instructed to proclaim deliverance to the people and was told by God, you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. So we see them now standing on the eastern bank of the Red Sea, and they see more deeply the significance of his name, Yahweh. Not only is he all-powerful and sovereign, but he's also their Redeemer, their Savior. Going on then, we look at the next portion, so we see that music lifts our spirits. I'm sure that we've had opportunity when we've been out driving to have someone pull up beside us in their car on a multi-lane road, and they're kind of bobbing their head like this or clicking their fingers. Sometimes they're using the brake. The car is going ding, ding, ding. They're really into it. We see that music certainly is something that peps up our day. It's kind of a fun thing. And it certainly is true of our experience with the Lord. But nothing lifts our spirits or evokes our praise like singing about the Lord. He is the ultimate object of our greatest songs. When we consider his attributes, his qualities, his majesty, his grace, his holiness, when we convert these qualities into songs, it lifts our hearts in worship, doesn't it? I'm thinking of the song, All That Fills My Heart is Jesus. It's a great hymn. It does something to us that no other kind of music will do. So, having exalted God for who he is, we look at these next verses from 4 to 12, and we see that they praise God for what he has done. First of all, they exalted God for who he is, and then for what he has done. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, all-powerful, sovereign, Savior, Redeemer, has dashed the enemy in pieces. In the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rise against you. You set forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord? Yahweh, Jehovah, Redeemer, all-powerful, sovereign among the gods. Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. So we see here the children of Israel praising God for what he has done. He has delivered them. You know, we, on the 4th of July, celebrate our country's freedom. It's been fun at the picnics we have to have a chance to sing some of the patriotic songs. And again, we're celebrating the freedom that we enjoy here in the States that a lot of countries don't the way we do. This year we also included that Eric's suggestion to sing Amazing Grace. It's only natural that we want to sing also about our spiritual freedom, isn't it? And want to sing hymns like Sing of Our Redeemer and His Wondrous Love for Us. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the cross to set us free. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. So going on, we've looked at praising God for who He is and what He did. And these other verses now, as we look ahead, is what He's going to do. So let's look at verse 13. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread shall fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will all be as still as stone. So your people pass over, O Lord, Yahweh, Redeemer, Sovereign, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. So anyway, many times we know our praises are forward-looking. As this was, we know that we've got troubles, we've got challenges in our lives and burdens, but we also believe God is going to lead us all the way. As we think of forward Bates, coming again, hymn that we sang, another great hymn. Going on then in conclusion, we see this narrative continues in verse 19. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. It's interesting here now to notice the postscript. These last two verses. And Miriam, a prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." It's fun to try to imagine that scene, isn't it? All the women with their timbrels, the percussion, the singing, the joy of the women. They estimate that Miriam was older than Moses. Moses was 80 at the time. So they think she was about 90 years old. So you can imagine this 90-year-old woman out there leading the whole host of women in their singing, beating their tambourines and leading the people in praise and worship. So as we finish up this portion, we say, well, what can we learn from this? As we fast forward, we kind of have a turn of events, don't we? Now imagine ourselves on the eastern shore of the Jordan. And the Lord has said, okay, it's time to cross over into that land. They had already experienced the Lord defeating some of their enemies as they had sung. And now they were asked to cross the Jordan. And we know they balked at that, didn't they? The spies came back, they got shaky knees. They had forgotten the three main things in the song. Who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. Wow, what a lesson for us, isn't it? You know, we've talked in the past about the four essentials of the Word of God, prayer, worship, fellowship, and how it's key that in our Christian lives, all those elements need to be active. I've likened it to fire, the Word of God being the fuel, the prayer being the oxygen, and worship and fellowship, the heat. You don't have fire unless you have all those three. So we see here that through singing, it helps us to engender all these. In singing, we know that a lot of songs come right from Scripture. So we're, in a sense, singing the Word of God, or singing truths of the Word of God. We certainly don't want to base our theology on songs, but we know it's true that a lot of songs are based on Scripture. The singing is praising Him and worshiping Him. Again, the fire that heats us in our relationship with Him, warms our relationship with Him, focuses us on Him. So singing is such a key element. We see that we need to, through our worship and singing and praise, to focus again on who He is, on what He's done, and what He's going to do. Just think, if they had taken the time to sing this song again when the spies came back, it might have changed the whole scene to be reminded of what God had already done. Unfortunately, I think all of us can relate to many times we run into circumstances and we just don't remember those truths. And that through singing and things in our lives like that, in Scripture, you know, it gives us what we need to cope from day to day in the Lord's power. So let's talk about a few things, a way of sort of intertwining singing into our lives. One suggestion is to develop a personal daily routine for singing to the Lord. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." You know, it's a suggestion that as you're having your devotion, that you have a hymn book there as well. A song that you can look up that might support what you're reading in your devotions. Listening to Christian music, it's nice that we have so many outlets. We've got radio channels we can listen to on the way to work. We've got iPods, everything, pad, whatever, to be able to listen to music. At night, as I sometimes I'll tune in to family radio, and it's, I don't know what time of night it is, but they have, I think it's called Watches in the Night. I guess it's for people who walk at night or work at night or can't fall asleep at night, but it's really neat. They blow a fog horn and they ring a bell, like, you know, like you're there on the shoreline, watches in the night. But the music is great. It really focuses us on the Lord, on your last thoughts of the day, and certainly is a way to go to sleep. There should be some Christian music in our lives every day. We try to build it into our daily routine. And we can certainly see the benefits of that. Also is to memorize some of the great hymns of the faith. Brittany and I were chuckling a little bit because this song that we sing, the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, of course, was part of her experience growing up. She was at, as an undergraduate at Villanova, they had a religion class. The whole bit, the guy was a friar, Brittany was, said, with the brown robes, with the rope ties around his thing, his waist. And so he comes in, and of course, thinking he's going to totally baffle his class, he says, who knows what is the fifth book of the Bible? Of course, Brittany's going, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I think it made its day, probably. So you never know when having sung the books of the Bible will help out. I've also thought if I was ever a prisoner of war, if I had my Bible and my little flock, I would be just fine. But I don't think when you go into a prisoner of war situation, they're going to say, hey, do you have your Bible and your little flock with you? They're going to say, give it up. So really, it's helpful to have some of these hymns memorized. We sing them often enough, and I'm sure we know parts of many. But to take the time to learn the whole one. One of my favorite ones is Susan and I like, the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not look at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Great words, and there's going to be a time, I think, when we'll be very happy. We'll have personalized and memorized hymns. Another way is to sing with your family. Deuteronomy 6:6 tells us to share God's word with our family when we sit at home, when we walk along the road, when we rise up, and when we go to bed. One of the easiest ways of doing this is to fill your home with Christian music. One of my memories growing up was with a family that lived right down Lansdowne Avenue, and they had a place down on the Chesapeake Bay. During the summer, I used to go visit them because they would stay down there during the summer. And occasionally, I'd be with them for Sunday, and we go into the local church. But they had this custom that when they got back, as soon as they hit their driveway, which is a pretty long driveway, they would start singing, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine." Well, the whole family, I mean, it was like five kids and the mom, just belting out, "There's a new name written down in glory." It was great. They'd jump out of the car, they'd still be singing. They'd go in the house, they'd still be singing it. And it was just fun and great truth as well. And I can remember growing up, my father had a good voice. My mom could carry a tune. So we would sometimes, when we were doing the dishes together, sing. My immediate family, I guess we weren't as blessed in terms of musical gifts. The best we could do is when we'd say grace, we would sing, "God is great and God is good." And we thank him for our food. And we did pretty well. And it was meaningful to do before we sang. But probably the most interesting way was to play tapes while we were in a car together. There was a time when Sue's parents lived at the shore and her dad was not well, and we would go down there frequently. So we'd come back Monday morning instead of Sunday night to beat the traffic. And after a while, the kids would wake up and start getting rambunctious. So we would start playing a tape. And it was kind of humorous because it has stuck in my mind. And I just want to read a few lines from it. And, of course, it was full of all the gestures and so on and so forth. Maybe some of the other kids have here. "If I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. If I were a fish in the sea, I'd wiggle my tail and I'd giggle with glee. But I thank you, Father, for making me me. If I were an elephant, I thank you, Lord, by raising my trunk. And if I were a kangaroo, I'd hop, hop, hop right up to you." And so on. So you can imagine the singing in the back seat along with all the hop, 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 and so forth. But it ends with, "'Cause you gave me a heart, and you gave me a smile, You gave me Jesus and you gave me his child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. What fun, huh? So, playing music in the car is another way. The next, of course, is singing in church, which is something that is probably the most obvious. Certainly is a great form of worship, isn't it? And I think we're fortunate here that we have enough strong voices so that we can, quote-unquote, belt it out. This morning we sang Amazing Love. How can it be? What fun to be able to just get up and praise the Lord as loudly as we can, of course, reverently. It's fun. Sometimes I'm tempted to peek and look in the back row and see if a band of angels hasn't arrived. You hear the Cantwell girls back there singing along. That's neat. And everybody else as well. But what a blessing to be able to praise the Lord and lift up his name in song. Another interesting one is to write your own songs. Now, that's not my gift, but our brother Tom Antonelli, one time, if you remember, got up and sang that song. What a blessing. You know, it really expressed his heart, didn't it? His love. Those of you who remember our brother John Miller used to write a poem and get up, and it was just so straightforward, full of love and his passion for the Lord. What a blessing. So that certainly is another way, but whatever your gift, we know that singing is a way of expressing our love and gratitude to the Lord. Nothing can lift our spirits or evoke our praise like singing about the Lord. When we consider, again, his attributes, his qualities, his majesty, his grace, his holiness. So the outburst of praise by the children of Israel that morning on the eastern bank of the Red Sea, I guess it's just a little picture of the daily praise and worship that we should characterize our own lives. It's the spontaneous lifting of praise to the Lord as we think of who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he threw into the sea. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have song. Lord, it just evokes our emotion, so many things, as it should. As we consider who you are, that we can sing about your attributes of your majesty, your glory, and your holiness. We can sing about what you've done, about your sacrifice on the cross. And again, the hope that we have in you that we can also vocalize, that we can get up and utter your name, and praise your name in song. We can do this as we rise up in the morning, as we carry out our day. We can commune with you and sing to you and sing about you and hear others do the same. And as we wrap up our day as well. Father, we thank you that you are living in a personal God. That you have given us the aspect of worship that we can commune with you, that we can express our love for you, our thanksgiving to you. Lord, what a blessing it is. We just pray that that will be part of our lives, that it will give us the heat and that fire that's to burn within us because we know you, that we will be in your word, we will be with you in prayer. We will walk with you hand in hand. Father, we are a blessed people to be your children, to be called your children. We thank you for it. Lord, we again pray for every family here, various needs. We know that we have children that are spread out through this world that need your protection and your strength. We thank you that you're there with them. They are not alone. Thank you that you go with each of our family members every day, whether they be at college, wherever. wherever they may be, we thank you we can uplift them in prayer, bring them before your throne. Ask you to be with them, to strengthen them, to give them wisdom, that you are with them. Thank you that you walk with each of us daily. As we go our ways this week, Lord, help us again to be praising you, walking with you. Help us to be a light in a world that is so confused and upside down. Father, again, we give you praise and we give you all the glory. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.